I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. And we won't go back. Go back. We won't go back. Lord, we thankful today, Lord God. We're grateful for your great love for us. We thank you for where you brought us from. Father, we're thankful that because of Jesus and us repenting and accepting him, Lord, we don't have to go back. Thank you that you brought us out of that dark place in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you delivered us and you cleaned us up, you washed us up, you're making us whole. We're grateful, Lord, for your goodness, your kindnesses towards us, great Father. We're grateful that you haven't treated us as our sins have indeed deserved, and we are cognizant of the fact that that's because of Christ, because of his death for us, that he took our place. Father, we know it should have been us, but it was him, and it had to be him because there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. He was the perfect Lamb of God, the only one who was worthy of hanging on that cross, the only one who could take on the punishment for our sins. And so we praise you, O Lord our God. Holy are you, holy is your name, and holy are you to be praised, Lord. We are grateful to be able to come together, great God, our Father, during this time to worship you. And we pray that, Lord, you would direct our time now during our time together in your word, and that your word would be, Lord, proclaimed, Lord, for nothing else in my hand I bring simply to the cross of Christ do I, and we cling, Lord God. May your word do its work. May you accomplish in us what you desire to accomplish, that we would be a people who indeed worship you. We would be a people who praise you, who give you what you are due, O God, from the whole of our lives, Lord. We're thankful and we are careful, O Lord, to give you the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 The psalmist said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Were you glad today? Yeah. Amen. I had to ask myself that question. Am I glad? You know, sometimes we can wake up mad. We wake up sad. We wake up upset and whatnot. And we have to bow down and think about the Lord. Think about his goodness. Think about his love and his mercy that brought us through, and give him the praise, and that can set the pace, you know, for our day, set our minds right, and get us on the right track, get us thinking rightly. And the Lord enabled us to be here together, to worship him together, to give him praise together, because he's worthy of our worship. So I am glad to be here today, glad that he got me up this morning and got us up and brought us here on this day. Amen. 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 We have come today to continue with Psalm 147. Psalm 147, my hallelujah belongs to you. We started that before Mother's Day. Took a little break to give our mothers some kudos and some challenge and being the moms that they are to their children, but we want to get back to looking at Psalm 147 and covering a little bit on today. Psalm 147, and We'll read some of that again today. Psalm 147, verse 1. And the psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God, for it is pleasant, and praise is becoming," or praise is comely, or praise is fitting. "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Amen. 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 We don't know who wrote this psalm. Sometimes, if you read through the 150 psalms, you can read in the superscript there, or in the beginning, that it'll tell us that this is a psalm of David, or this is a psalm of Asaph, or somebody that wrote that psalm. But a lot of times we don't know, and that's the case with this. But we do know that this psalmist was writing to call the people of God to praise him, to say hallelujah to him, because he is worthy of our praise. Praise is part of the prayer life of the disciple of Jesus. I think I said this before, and I'm reiterating this again today, that praise is a part of the prayer life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, praise should not be foreign to you and to me. Hallelujah, as the psalmist wrote here, praise the Lord. And we talked about that last time, that praise the Lord is actually come from the original word, which is hallelujah, which is two words. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is the Lord. When you see Lord in the Old Testament, and you read Lord, capital, all caps, then it's talking about Yahweh. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Yahweh, praise the Lord, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about praising the Lord, we're talking about praising Yahweh, the God, who is the God that we read about in the Old Testament and the God in the New Testament, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. Praise is becoming for the people of God, as our psalmist tells us in our passage today. Praise is something that we should put on every day. It's not just something for Sunday when we come together. It is for that, and I think it's a special blessing to be able to come together with people who can sing and who love the Lord, and for us to come together and worship the Lord together. There's something additional that the Lord, by way of benefit that the Lord has given us in coming together with the body of Christ to praise him. But we can do it on our own, and it should be a part of our day-to-day routine. The Lord's goodness to us brings about, or should bring about, an eruption. I think about an eruption, you know, from the depths of our hearts and spills out in praise. You know, I get a picture of a volcano, and we've seen pictures of volcanoes and that eruption that takes place. The lava is stirring up underneath, and, you know, if it gets to that boiling point, if you will, it flows over. I think about that praise from us, the people of God, just erupting from our hearts and spilling over as we think about God, just spilling over in praise. The focus of this psalm is the praise of the Lord, or praise of Yahweh. Too often, though, I say in these introductory remarks, too often, though, our focus might be on the gift, the things that he does, and the benefits that we receive, and not really the gift giver, who is God himself. And I think when that's the case, our praise is really limited. If we are not careful, we can easily find ourselves praising God for the blessings he gives us more than we praise him for being the Lord all by himself. You know, we praise him for what he gives us, and not really praising him as being the final focal and the focal point of our praise. It is easy, I think, for us to sing the praises of God only when we get something from him. Has that ever been true of you, that our praise, our thanksgiving to God is when God does something for us? And that's a good thing, and we should do that when he does something for us. But if it's only when that happens, then I don't think we've reached that point where the fullness of praise can come, because we're just thinking about the stuff and not about the stuff giver, if I can say it like that. We want to be able to grow up and move past that and praise him for him. Because real, true, genuine praise comes from a heart that is more grateful for the person who gives than they are for what he gives to them. Praise from the heart of true worshipers sees the Lord as the object of worship. He himself is the object of worship. And I think that's what the psalmist was pointing us. Praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Fix your eyes on him. Yes, we're thankful for this litany of things that he's done, but our focus is on him and what he himself, who he is, and not just what he's done. The more we focus on Jesus Christ and what he's done and believe what he's done, the more we are inclined, my friends, to praise him from the depths of our souls. God is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and truth. And I wrote that line thinking about Jesus when he met the woman at the well. He said, you Samaritans, you don't know what you're worshiping, what that's about. But God is seeking people who worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we want to be. That's what I want to be. And that's what the Lord wants to be. And that's what I want us to be together as a people of God who gather in this place. We want to be disciples who truly declare the praises of our Lord, that we're praising him. Yeah, we're thinking about all that he's done, and that moves us to that point of praise, but we're declaring his praises, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We want to be disciples who know who we worship, that we know who we are worshiping and why we are worshiping him. Because if we know the who and we know the why, then, man, that's what really causes that eruption of praise in our minds, in our heart, because your praise then has substance. You're not just mouthing words, but it has substance. It has substance. Well, let me say a few things today. One, disciples of Jesus, we said before, just by way of review, our point last time, main point, was disciples of Jesus are inclined to praise the Lord. I've said that already this morning, right? We're just inclined to praise the Lord. If you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ and you're growing and knowing him, John 17:3, and you're growing, knowing the Father in him and the work of the Spirit in your life, then I think we're just going to be inclined to praise him. It's just going to be something that is natural. We're going to praise him. Well, maybe I should say supernatural, because naturally we don't praise God. Naturally it's all about you and it's all about me. Supernaturally, our minds go past us and go up to God and we begin thinking about him. So praise is really a supernatural something that happens, because getting over us and getting past our pride and arrogance and just the focus on us, it takes some work. It takes some work. And when the Spirit of God is working in you and we humble ourselves before him, then we are inclined to praise the one who has delivered us out of darkness and brought us into this marvelous light. Disciples of Jesus are just inclined to praise the Lord. And we said last week that hallelujah is a shout of praise to the Lord. It's giving God a shout out. We give him a shout out. We come today, hopefully we've given him a shout out already. Now, I consider this time that the Lord has given me in this part of our worship, it's a shout out to the Lord. It's a time to pray. But the whole service is about worshiping the Lord. Yeah, right? Yes, it is. It's not just about this time. Some people think it's just about this time. They just come to hear the preaching. Well, you're wrong. It's not just about this time right here. The whole of the service is about God. From our praying, our singing, our giving, our fellowshipping, all of that is an offering of praise before the Lord. So it's all of it together. And when we, I think, come to understand that, then I think we can have a real rich experience of worship and praise before our great God. Disciples of Jesus are inclined to praise the Lord. Disciples of Jesus praise the Lord because of the pleasure it brings him. I think our psalmist would say today that as those who say we know the Lord and we're disciples of Jesus, we praise him because of the pleasure that it brings him. And we should develop a lifestyle of praise because it brings pleasure to him. I don't know if you've ever thought about your singing or your fellowshipping or our time in the Word or your clapping or stomping your feet or just nodding your head along with the melody. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about that bringing pleasure to God. But if it's from your heart, if it's real, true, genuine praise, then it does. It brings pleasure to him. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming. Well, let's flesh that out a little bit. Two points, I think, are made about the nature of praise to the Lord. The nature of praise to the Lord. The psalmist says one thing about praise is that it is good to sing praise to our God. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Singing praises to God is a good thing to whom? It's a good thing to him. First and foremost, above all else, yeah, it's some goodness in it for us too. But first and foremost, the psalmist is saying it is good to sing praises to God, not to you, not to me, not to the walls, but to sing praises to our God. The psalmist says that's a good thing. We're doing a good thing when we come together and sing praises to our God. And that good thing that we do, my brothers and sisters, it is pleasurable to our God. It's pleasurable to him. Note that the psalmist specifically speaks of singing to God. He says it is good to sing to the Lord. Now, I've mentioned this before and probably many times, that I know all of us can't sing as well as, you know, the people that may be on the praise team or in the choir and whatnot. But he didn't qualify that, did he? He said, it is good for those who have been gifted with a nice voice to sing to the Lord. No, he didn't say that. He said, it is good for, and here he was talking to the people of Israel, but by way of extension, all of those who have accepted the true and living God. He was talking to us. It is good for us to sing praises to our God. And our life lesson, let me throw it in here real quickly, is that singing praises to God is good because he enjoys it. When it's talking about it being good, it's good to God. It's good to God. He enjoys it when we sing to him from our hearts. We ain't talking about just saying words. No, we're not just talking about being involved in a sing-along because everybody else is singing. No, we're talking about something has happened in here and you see the someone. And that causes that eruption. He enjoys that. He enjoys that. I had to sit down and think about this for a minute. He enjoys it when we sing to him from our hearts. Singing to praises. Now listen with me on this, because I had to listen. And I said, Lord, is that? He said, yeah, you got to say that. Singing praises to God stirs his emotions. We think about singing stirring us, don't we? Yeah, we sing, and we talked about that a little bit last time. We get into the music and our emotions are stirred up. Well, hear me now. When the psalmist is saying, for it is good to sing praises to our God, singing praises to him, it stirs God up. God has emotions. We know that, right? Where do you think our emotions came from? They came from God. Our ability to enjoy life, that comes from God. Our ability to feel pain and enjoy the things in life and all the other emotions that I can't even think of now, that comes from God. We're created in the image of God. And when we talk about being created in the image of God, that's what we're talking, not physically looking like him, but the stuff in us that makes us persons, that comes from God. We have a God who has emotions. Okay. And I think when he is not, let me say this, he is not controlled by emotion like we are sometimes. We get emotional and we just go stir crazy because of our emotions. But that's not God. No, but God has emotion. He's a God of love. He's a God who cares. He's even a God who, Jesus wept. Didn't the scripture tell us that? When he stood by Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept. So we see coming from, we see in our God, a God who has emotions, okay? And singing praises to him, I think it really stirs him up. He created music. We know that, right? Yeah, music comes from God. It comes from him. He created music, and he takes delight in the fact that we have such a high regard for him. A high regard for him. Such a high reverence for him. And we recognize his gracious hand in the affairs of our lives, as the psalmist was saying here. He said, hallelujah to the Lord. And that's why down through verse 20, he talks about those things, lists those things that God had done and that God does. And he said, you ought to have a high regard for God, a high reverence for him, as you recognize his gracious hand in the affairs of your life. And we recognize that, and because we recognize that, and we see him, we take time out to praise him. When we think about the Lord, isn't there a song like that? When I think about the Lord, when we think about him, I believe God gets stirred up because we take the time to set aside our busy schedule, or even as we're going through that busy schedule, that we're stirred up and we, some way, somehow, we give him the praise. It is not good in the sight of God. And I even said it like this. It is inappropriate for the people of God not to praise him in song. If it's a good thing to sing to the Lord, it's not a good thing to not sing to the Lord. Right? Yeah, that's the conclusion I've come to in my own life. You have to come to these conclusions on yourself. My job is to share the word, to shepherd in that way, and hopefully to lead you to the word. And, you know, the Lord has to work with you, because the Lord ain't forcing nobody. He didn't force nobody to praise him. He don't force nobody to come here. He don't force nobody to give of themselves to him. He doesn't force, so neither can I. Okay, I'm not going to beat you upside the head with the word, but I am going to share the truth. And the truth is that it is not good in the sight of God. It is even inappropriate for the people of God not to praise him in song and with the totality of our lives. Since God takes pleasure in our singing, then because he is our God and because he is our God who's been so good to us, I would think that we would be compelled, and we are compelled and obliged, to do the things that make him smile. You ever thought about God smiling? We can't see him, but God smiles when we praise. God smiles with pleasure when we sing to him. He sees us singing. We talked last time about God inhabiting the praises, being enthroned upon the praises of his people. He comes, he sits, he lingers. He sees us singing. He hears our voices. And to him it is a good thing. And it pleases him. And it makes him smile. Praise is the appropriate response to the creator of the heavens and the earth, isn't it? With whom we have this type of personal relationship. Do you have that type of personal relationship with the Lord? That we see him. See, the Lord is working with this in my own life. So a lot of what I share, I'm sharing it out of what is happening in me. Is that God is not just this being who sits up in heaven and is distant from us. God is an up-close God that interacts and relates to us and responds to us. No, God, he takes much joy in our singing to him. The psalmist says that it is a good thing to sing to the Lord, because he enjoys it when we sing. But he also says it is pleasant and praise is becoming. The Lord should be praised because, and I've said it like this, it is a beautiful thing to him when the saints are engaged in praise. I think no matter how we may sound, I know we get bothered when we ain't, when everybody is not hitting the same note at the same time, you know, that they should be hit. I know that bothers us. You know, I understand that. But God looks at our hearts, and even when I'm off key, it's a beautiful thing. I know not to you, but it's a beautiful thing to our God. It is pleasant. It is becoming. For something to be pleasant to you means it gives you a sense of satisfaction, right? You're satisfied with what you see, you're satisfied with what you hear, you're satisfied because it appeals to your senses. And again, I'm thinking of those senses that God has, that he has extended to us. It looks and it sounds beautiful to him. It's pleasant to him. It is a delightful sight in your eyes when something is pleasing to you, when it is becoming to you. This is true with the Lord as well in our singing to him. Our singing praises appeals to the senses of our God. And again, our Lord leans in and he listens with his ear. When we praise him, he sees and he enjoys what he sees because his people are enjoying him. See, when we're praising, we're really, if you're doing it from your heart and because of who you know and what you know about him, we're enjoying him. He hears what he hears. And what he hears is a beautiful thing because he hears the mass choir. We're his mass choir. Us and everybody around the world who loves the Lord Jesus, we're the mass choir. He hears the mass choir of his people praising him with one voice and one heart. And he says, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. My people, they got it. They're focused on me. They got it. There's that vertical component to this pleasantness and becoming. And that's all about God. It's all about God. The vertical component of good and pleasant and becoming nature of praise has to do with, of course, again, the Lord himself. It is he who is pleased. It is he who is praised by his people. It is he who is worthy of our praise and thanksgiving to him simply because he is God. It's a beautiful thing to him when our hearts are right before him. I thought, just as a little segue here, I thought about Abel. You may know, if you read the Old Testament, the story of Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve's boys. And if you read the text there in Genesis, Abel was commended by God for his offering. Cain was not commended by God. God was not pleased with Cain's offering. And so if I can throw this in, sometimes we created a picture of God to say, well, God is a loving God, so he accepts everything. He accepts everybody, no matter what, no matter what your lifestyle is, no matter what you're into, no matter what you bring. God, no, God don't accept everything. No, he doesn't. He's a righteous, he's a holy God. He's a God who is worthy of our utmost best. And that includes our praise. So he accepted Abel's, but Cain was not accepted. God was not pleased with Cain because he did not bring God the first and the best that he could offer him in worship. Why didn't he? Well, why didn't God? Well, Cain brought just an offering to the Lord. But Abel, the text tells us, Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. So the writer wants to give us a picture of Cain bringing God a little bit over here and Abel bringing God the first and the best of what he could offer God from the land. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But it's important for us to think about this because why? Why did Abel worship God to that extent? And why did he bring him the very best and the very first? Well, he brought the best and the first because he had a high regard for God. He saw God for who he was. And he had the utmost respect for God. And God was first in his life. He understood that the Lord was the creator of the heavens and the earth, the giver of life. And he wanted to express his thanks and praise God with the best that he could. Cain did not bring the first and the best. Why didn't he? He did it because his heart was not right before the Lord. See, he didn't have that reverence, that respect, that honor for God. And so he said, well, I just take God a little something, something. No, he didn't have the regard for the Lord as Abel did. And the text says that God had regard for Abel's offering, but not for Cain's. And don't, I said, Lord, I want that. I want God to be pleased with the offering that I have to bring him. Got a ways to go. But I'm working on being like my man Abel. You know, see, but it starts in the heart. And this is something I'm learning, my friends. I hope we learn this lesson together, that you can give God your best and your first if you don't see him and know him and reverence him for who he is. You just can't do it. We can't do it. You can give him some stuff, but you know whether it's your best and your first. You know whether you're doing it out of reverence for God, out of love for God, out of respect for God. We know that. God wants us coming to him, whatever we bring him, because our hearts are seeking after his heart. And we have that high, high regard for him like we have for no other, because we see him as he is. And we know him. I wonder where the Lord stands in your mind and in your heart today as you sit here and when you leave this place too. Is he here above all powers? Is he there? Is he there? But when you leave here, do you leave him at the door? No, our praise follows us when our God is before us. And we recognize that he's there. He's there in the workplace. He's there when you're driving that car. And he's there when you're at the store. He is there. And I thought of this, that as a life lesson, praise is not real praise when our praising is not motivated by our reverence for God. It's not real praise when it's not motivated by our reverence for God. God is not on an ego trip, needing the compliments and the praises of his people. We understand that, right? God don't need your praise. He's still going to be God whether you open your mouth or not. He's still going to be God. He's going to be God whether you give or not. He's going to be God whether you serve in some capacity or not. He's going to be God whether you come together and worship or not. He is still God. God don't need you. God doesn't need me. He is the only self-sufficient one. We are dependent on him. And the sad thing, the travesty, is that some don't even know it, don't recognize it, or won't admit it. And we become our own God. But God is not on this some ego trip, needing the compliments of people to affirm his value and worth. He don't need that. No, he's God. He doesn't need anything from me or you. Yet, God created us for himself, and it is a pleasant thing to him when he sees and hears us praising him and complimenting him from our hearts. And he knows it anyway, but when he sees us being truly grateful, and that gratefulness is exhibited in our praise. Yeah, praise is pleasant to God. But praise also is pleasant, and it's becoming for us. Praise fits God. Becoming to him because of who he is and what he's done and all that he continues to do. But praise is also for us. We do get something out of it. We're always thinking about, well, what's in it for me? There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself unless that becomes our primary motivation. We understand that, right? Our primary motivation is about him. But there is a horizontal component to the nature of praise. It's about us. We should praise the Lord because of the pleasure that it brings to us. Now, does praising God bring you pleasure? When praise is good to the Lord, when our praise is good to the Lord, then it becomes good to his people and good for his people as well. And I think I put this as a life lesson, that praise is good for the people of God because it engages our emotions and our minds. And through these, we are connected with God. See, it's all about relationship. Our praise is, again, it's not just something that we do. It's about relationship. What is happening in our being connected with our great God, and what is happening with us, with one another as well. You know, the Bible tells me that we were created to love him with all our heart, all our minds, all our soul, and all our strength. All of us for all of him. We find pleasure in praising our great God when our hearts are connected with his heart. And I dare say, because the Bible says that if we're not focused on praising him, we are not connected with him and we are not living as pleasurable a life as we could be living. We find enjoyment in music again, in the music and the message of his mercy. And we find pleasure and enjoyment in the music that sings about his forgiveness, that reminds us of his forgiveness, and the truth in the word that reminds us of his forgiveness, and in the goodness to us that he extends to us. When that embraces my mind and your mind, that's a good thing for us, and it should bring pleasure to us. And when we are praising him, it enacts, sets into motion the emotive aspect of our being, our emotions get stirred up. Our emotions are stirred up by the goodness of God. Are they? It's not just a head thing. It's not just a head, it's a heart thing too. Our emotions are stirred by the goodness of God and the love of God for us. Emotions get stirred up. Mine do. Now, I know, well, you say, well, Pat, we don't see you running around the church and doing all this other kind of stuff. Well, no, because that can be emotionalism. And it doesn't, I mean, it could be authentic with some people. I don't know. Could be. But something happens. Something happens. When we praise the Lord, we can get stirred up. I thought about, it's an old hymn, but yet with a contemporary message. Oh, how I love Jesus, right? You remember that song, don't we? Yeah, those of you that have been around, oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. So what happens? We know something about God. We know he first loved us. And that stirs us up. God first loved me. God didn't treat me as my sins deserved. He reached out. He took the initiative to call me into a relationship with him. Oh, how I praise him. Oh, how I love him. Because he first loved me. Jesus died on the cross for me. And that truth affects my innermost being. Messes with my mind. We're moved to sing to him because of the power in our lives. We sing about his power, and the songs we sing, it reminds us of the power of God that we read about in his word. And that does something to us because it gives us some hope, gives us some encouragement. Death could not hold him down. We sing that song, and what does that make us? It makes us think about the resurrection. It could not hold him down, and it cannot and will not hold us down. It does, singing, praising does something to us. We're moved in our emotions when we think about the forgiveness of God. You ever think about where you came from? Yeah, you think about some of the stuff you may have been into last week, and the Lord didn't strike you dead. And we praise him for his forgiveness of our many sins. We think about his provision. When we think of him, praise is the supernatural response. It is good to praise God. It is fitting for us because we are his people. It's comely, it's fitting, it's beautiful when we praise the Lord. Does something to us. Psalm 92 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, Most High, to declare your goodness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Yeah, it's good for us to praise the Lord. When we awake in the morning, praise the Lord. You open your eye before your feet hit the ground, praise you, Lord. You roll over and get on your knees, praise you, Lord. I got a brand new day. At the end of the day, when he's brought us through his faithfulness, we think about his faithfulness before we go to bed, and do we bow and say, praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. God, you brought me through whatever, because he brought you through something. He brings us through something. And we say, thank you, Lord God, for bringing me through. That does something in us. As we think about those things. And I have this important life lesson. I need to move on. I'm going too slowly. Our life lesson is this. Praise is not. It is not a thoughtless church ritual that we engage in, my brothers and sisters. It's not a thoughtless church ritual or something. It's not just part of the liturgy, our order of worship. It's not just that. Praising the Lord is an engagement of the mind, our minds, our emotions, and our will, all of us, for all of him. It's an engagement of our minds, our emotions, and our wills. Praise is not merely about singing. We should. The psalmist says it is good to sing to the Lord. But that singing comes as an outgrowth of our worship of God. And when you're worshiping God, that means you have something has clicked in your mind about him. And you see who he is and you see what he's done and you are compelled to bow down before him. Worship is bowing down, giving God what he's worth, and one of the outgrowths, one of the ways that we worship him is through singing. Praise from a heart of worship, I believe, is greatly appealing to our God. Praising the Lord is good for us when it is rooted in the word of God. Life lesson, praising the Lord is good for us when it's rooted in the word of God. Why is that? Because it takes us to truth, and truth sets us free. Truth helps us to see God. What we know of God from his word enables us to offer him, an informed doxology. Our doxology is the verbal expression of glory and praise that we give to God. At the end of the service here today, we'll do the doxology, right? Praise God from whom? Yes, we'll do. That's the doxology. That's a word of praise, of thanksgiving to God. But where does that come from? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. How do we know all blessings flow from God? We go back to the word of God. We see that God is the God who gives. He's the God who's in control. And so knowing that, that doxology has substance. Yes, it does. Because we know that it is God who is blessing us. And so we're moved. We're moved to give him that oral expression of glory and of praise to our great Savior. One Dave Murray wrote that the Psalms strike an inspired balance of doxology and theology. They combine the objective with the subjective in perfect proportion. Time and again, we read, "Praise the Lord," followed by reasons and motivations for praise. God is always declared and described in such a way as to stir up our hearts and cause us to interact with him through his self-revelation. See, it's the heart and the mind and the soul and our hands and our feet. It's all of us coming before God to give him a balanced praise. Colossians 3:15 through 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom." Teaching. Get it now. Teaching and admonishing one another with what? With psalms. Let's get it, praise team. With psalms, teaching and admonishing one another, the benefit for us, our singing ain't just about saying words. It's a doxology to God, and it's about teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, with hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. Yes. Substance, my friends, substance. When our singing comes out of the substance of the word of God, listen, it overflows to true, genuine praise to the Lord our God. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's the word of God. That's not me. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom and understanding, admonishing, teaching one another. That's something that should be in the church. That should be us when we come together. It's not just about the preaching or the fellowshipping. It's about the praise that we give our God through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and all of that collectively together. It's a beautiful thing to our great God. I need to finish. The Lord has called us together into this faith community of believers. And he's called us together to worship him. I think there is great benefit, you know, for us when we come together and worship the Lord together. We pray together, we worship the Lord together, we sing with one another together. Those are expressions of our praise, of our worship to God. And we carry out that biblical mandate. Hebrews 13, verse 12 through 25 says that too. Let us offer to God. And I don't have time to go into it, but read it. Hebrews 13, 12 through 15. We offer to God the sacrifice of praise. How is that? The fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips that praise his name. We benefit. God loves it. He enjoys it. He smiles when we sing together about the goodness of God. We are encouraged when we are reminded through song that the Lord has promised that while all this stuff might be going on in the world, evil running rampant, and all the stuff might be going on in your world, when we sing songs that are rooted in Scripture, listen, the Lord reminds us that soon and very soon, soon and very soon, it will be over. And that he is in control of all of that stuff. God is in control. So when we sing, it helps to calm me down. Instead of being all bent out of shape and whatnot, it calms me down. I can say, praise the Lord. Lord, you're still in charge. Praise that is rooted in Scripture teaches us about our Lord and enables the truth about him to enter into long-term memory. Some of us, our memories are too short. Ain't that long. Maybe we need to get to singing with some substance. And get to reading. Reading the word and put the two together and praise the Lord. Lest we forget, we sing praises to our King of Kings. Disciples of Jesus, we praise the Lord because we know that he is the only God and no one else, right? And he is the one who sees us. He sees me. Thank God that he sees me. And that we are never out of his presence. He is the one who sees what is going on in our nation. Some people are all bent out of shape. Does it bother us? Yes, it may bother us, but we shouldn't be like, oh, this is the end of the world. If it is the end of the world, guess what? Jesus is coming back. And he's taking us home to be with him. He sees all of that. So we can praise him. He sees what is going on in our homes, what is going on in our hearts, what's going on in this nation. The one who sees is the one who is not just looking. And this is why we praise him. He's not just looking. No, he's the one who is acting for our benefit and his glory. God is actively involved. Well, it doesn't seem like it. I know it doesn't seem like it. We're finite. He's infinite. He knows what he's doing. He's working. But we have to have that truth that is in the word that God is carrying out his plan of redemption. We have to have that rooted here. And from that, we can sing praises to him anyhow. Don't you want to say praise the Lord when he brings you through an impossible situation? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord brought me through that. I know it was him. Yes, sir. I was there, but I'm here now. Nobody but my God. Nobody. We sing praises to him. Don't you want to praise him? Don't you want to say praise the Lord when he provides in a way that you never thought possible? Where do we get that from? From the word of God. God is the God. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So we are compelled to praise the God who is the God of the impossible, who's above our impossible circumstances. We praise him while the impossible is still going on. Yes, especially then, because we're demonstrating faith in him. Don't you want to say praise the Lord when he moves that mountain that's been standing in your way? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you want to say praise the Lord when he gives you peace? Even though you are experiencing more pain and more of an unsure future in your life and heart than at any other time in your life, the psalmist would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, for he is the one who is worthy of our praise. Got to end on the scriptures. It's Revelation 19:1. Revelation 19:1. John writes, after these things, all that he had written that had gone on, for God to bring history to its climax. He said, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude, the mass choir. The great multitude in heaven saying, you know what they were saying, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. We ought to say hallelujah. Salvation and power and glory belongs to our God. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters, because he is worthy. Don't just wait till you come here. Let's do some praising this week. Praise him this week. And let's come back together if Jesus doesn't come back and praise him next week. Amen. Amen. Father, we're thankful today. We're thankful, Lord. So thankful, Lord, for that day that you have shown us in the future that we'll be gathered together with all of God's people saying hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power and might be unto our God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Lord, we give you the glory now. We're not waiting until then, Lord God. We're praising you now. We say hallelujah to you now. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are gathered here today. I pray for us that we would be a people who declare your praises. God, that we would not be afraid. We would not be ashamed. We would not be intimidated to be pushed back from praising you, Lord, that we would be a people who praise our God. You are worthy, Lord God, of our praise. May you be exalted in our minds. May truth inform our praise. And from that, may you receive the honor and all the glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, there might be someone who has never trusted you, our great God. They've never trusted Jesus as Lord of their lives. They never submitted themselves, humbled themselves, repented, and said, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. So they can't worship you. But Lord, maybe today is the day that they say a simple prayer. Father, I repent of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe that he came and died on the cross for my sin. And I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. And Father, there might be someone who is disconnected from your family. They may know you, but they are not a part of the holy convocation of the people of God. May that person yield, bow before you, and accept this place or some place as their place of service and worship to you. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. To you be the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there's someone here today who has, maybe you prayed that prayer to accept Jesus as Lord of your life, you can take that step of faith. And it is faith, but it's faith based on what we have in the Word of God. You give yourself to Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You say, Lord, I accept you. I believe in you. I believe my sins are forgiven. If you want to make the Agape Fellowship your church family, you can simply say, Lord, I want to make this church my church family. I give myself to you in service and worship. If you make that decision today, you can let me know. If you're here today, you can come forth. Or you can let me know. Send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Amen. Won't you stand with me? He's omnipotent. King, the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, our Savior, be glory, be majesty, dominion, and power, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing. Amen. Praise the Lord.